case of Garcia Camara versus the Commonwealth. And a reminder, if you've not yet done so, please make sure you sign in.
May it please the Court, my name is Bill Moore from the Arlington Public Defender's Office representing the appellant Garcia Tirado. I'm requesting to reserve 5 minutes of my time for response.
5 minutes, yes, sir.
Thank you. Your Honors, we are asserting in our assignment of error that the trial court erred in denying our motion to suppress, finding that the Miranda waiver was intelligently and knowingly and intelligently made. And I think at this point in time, I would like to very, very briefly go over the facts of the case because I think it's important. Mr. Garcia Tirado spoke Mam, which is an indigenous language of Guatemala. He knew some Spanish and even less English, and he was charged with the rape of his cousin.
But he spoke in Spanish for 12 years, not fluently apparently, but at least, Spanish certainly. National language, country of origin.
No. You know, I think it's that he went to school to the sixth grade, and up to the sixth grade.
The record reflects that he spoke Spanish for about 12 years.
I think, Your Honor, the record also reflected that in his household, and even when he was living in the United States with the cousin, they spoke Mam in the household. But I think that does get to the issue, which is, Your Honor, not necessarily whether he spoke Spanish or did not speak Spanish, but my assignment of error is that the trial court was without a basis, was without evidence to find that.
Well, the trial court concluded that, notwithstanding that it was not his first language, he understood it and therefore understood his rights and what he was right for and what he was waiting for.
That's what the trial court found, Your Honor. Again, I assert that it was without a basis because.
Certainly evidence in support of the trial court's conclusion is the fact that he wrote this short apology apparently in Spanish. And while it's certainly not a model of grammatical clarity, at least when translated into English, it certainly would seem to indicate that he was conversant with string verbs and nouns and things like that to be able to get a point across.
Correct, but again, as was mentioned in my brief during the motion to suppress, the Commonwealth did not bring the translator. The Commonwealth relied upon a non-speaking detective who did not understand the questions that were asked to Garcia Tirado and the responses given by Garcia Tirado. And then what happened, of course, is they relied upon the videotape of the interrogation. But that was without context. There was no knowledge as to what was said. As the trial court mentioned during the motion to suppress, how do I know that is what is being asked of him, not directions to Virginia Beach? He did not know. And we have no knowledge as to what was asked of him. And so therefore, again, I assert that the trial court was without a basis to determine what was asked and what was responded. Now, the Commonwealth replies upon the Priest versus Commonwealth, which is based upon Carroll versus United States, which, as the court knows, your honors can look at the entire record of to determine whether this Miranda waiver was known voluntarily made. I believe that the Attorney General's reliance upon the Priest is not applicable in this case, and I'd like to explain why. Because in all the cases in the Priest, in all cases that I have found where the Priest is cited, all relate to Fourth Amendment search and seizure. This case is substantially different. It's a Fifth Amendment waiver of Miranda rights. In the case of a Fourth Amendment search and seizure, you are looking at the objective standard of a reasonable officer. You're looking at, is there sufficient evidence for reasonable articulable suspicion or probable cause? That is something fundamentally different from a waiver of Miranda when you are looking at, Your Honors, the defendant's point of view. You are looking at, did he understand? And so I would suggest in the vast majority of cases where the Priest is utilized, what you have is you have a motion to suppress, which goes to trial. And thereafter, what you have is you have cumulative evidence, additional evidence, where the courts would find that, yes, there was a basis to find that there was reasonable articulable suspicion or that there was probable cause for arrest. That's not the case here. In this case, Your Honors, I would suggest that the Commonwealth is asking you to become fact finders, because in the case of this trial, Garcia Tirado, and partly because of the denial of the motion to suppress, took the stand in his own defense. And I'm just going to cite the record, and I'm going to do so backwards, Your Honor, from page number, you know, on page 361 of the record, he says, "And she never asked me, I didn't understand anything at all." On page 360 of the record, "I don't understand what the detectives were talking about." Page 355-58 of the record, "I didn't understand what the police was telling me." The record is rife with denials of his understanding of what was happening.
Well, let me ask a question that your argument regarding the absence of a translator for the trial court. And the question is this. Isn't it arguable that that was offset by the likelihood, given the evidence in the case, that the judge believed that this defendant could speak, understand, and write in Spanish because he chose to write in Spanish the letter of apology, and he had 12 years of speaking Spanish, which at least leads to a reasonable inference that the judge believed he could understand and speak. And finally, he was asked, and in fact did, read the form with the rights in which he was asked to waive, if you will, give up, in Spanish. And he read them. He read them in Spanish. He never once said then, during all of this preliminary, and then in the course of being asked about his rights, "I don't get it." He read them. Now, I'm not sure he even had to say anything. It seems to me someone who can write in Spanish, even somewhat haltingly, and who read the rights in Spanish and the fact that he was giving them up, said, "I mean, do you understand what you're giving up?" Isn't that enough to establish that he did, contrary to his testimony at trial, when he's now saying, "I didn't get it, I didn't get it"?
Well, Your Honor, you say that there was an inference, that the judge trial made an inference.
Sure, yeah.
But I would suggest there was perhaps an inference, but it remains the Commonwealth's burden to prove by preponderance of the evidence that he knowingly and voluntarily waived. With regards to the reading of the Miranda,
Your Honor, an inference doesn't mean insufficient to sustain the burden of proof, because you never have to make evidence on most of these things anyway. If he had said at the hearing at some point, "I don't get it," maybe that's a little bit more direct. But that's what we have in the case. We have clearly a man who could speak, did speak, read, and wrote in this language.
Well, I'd like to address the questions of Your Honor. And the first thing I'd like to say is, you say he reads. He read the Miranda waiver, which was, again, that was subsequent. That was in trial. And I'd like to come back to that point.
I thought it was during, maybe comment after.
Your Honor.
Attorney General's office will have to clarify that. I thought it was in the course of being interrogated.
What happened was, Your Honor, is that the trial judge at the motion to suppress had no knowledge of what was being asked, because the translator, the detective, was not present. Therefore, could not make a determination of what was being asked. Mm-hmm. Subsequently to that, in trial, the Commonwealth put on evidence that they put on the translator and they put on the transcription. But I would like to get to the point of with regards to the reading of the rights. I mean, Your Honor, I've taken, in high school, I've taken about 2 years of German. If one of Your Honors handed me a German newspaper, I could read it. That does not mean I can comprehend it. And I say that
he read and wrote in Spanish.
He did. He read and he wrote, and we put it on evidence that the reading or the writing was basic at best, and certainly not good enough, we would contend, to knowingly and intelligently waive.
But isn't the standard on appeal for this issue an abuse of discretion such that your position would have to be supported by wholly without evidence?
And, Your Honor, I believe it was wholly without evidence at the motion to suppress. Again, because the court had no knowledge as to what was being asked of Garcia Tirado during the motion to suppress and what his responses were. There was no knowledge as to what was said. All the judge had to look at was demeanor. That's all the judge, I would assert, that the judge had. Now, if the court is going to utilize the priest, which I do not believe it can do, and I'd like to explain why, it would be because, Your Honor, you would have to essentially become finders of fact, and you would be required to weigh the evidence. You would be, certainly the Commonwealth can provide evidence as to why he knowingly and intelligently waived, but then Your Honors would also have to adjudicate, were his denials credible? And, of course, that was for the trial court. Your Honors can't see his demeanor during trial. You didn't see his demeanor during trial. You can't assess his credibility.
I want to make sure you're aware. You're in rebuttal time. It's okay.
I'm sorry. I will reserve the remainder of my time for response to the comment.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Victoria Johnson here for the Commonwealth. This court should affirm the conviction because the record establishes that the defendant spoke Spanish and that he understood the Spanish waiver, the Spanish language waiver form in this case. First of all, the record establishes that the defendant had studied Spanish and spoken Spanish for 12 years. That is at record, and there are several places, so I'm going to go ahead and read them for the court. Appendix 77. 86 through 87, 90, 230, and 340. It's also cited in my brief for the court's convenience. That is based on the defendant's own statement to the officer when the officer was asking him what language he spoke. The defendant also stated that he had...
All these statements to the officer were, of course, in Spanish as well.
Yeah, well, actually, the defendant, if you look at the videotape, which the court can do without becoming a fact finder because it's part of the record, if you look at the videotape, initially, the defendant is speaking English.
And I just want to raise that a moment ago, and defense counsel could look at that again, but this individual spoke two languages at least, and maybe...
And maybe a third.
With his own native tongue, if you will. Yeah. He spoke both English and Spanish, and he worked here.
Yes.
And I think it's an inference that he spoke English at his job.
He worked as a landscaper. He had studied English at Arlington Mills High School, where he was a student. He stated that he enjoyed studying English there. He initially spoke with the officers in English at the beginning of the videotape.
No, he spontaneously spoke English.
He was interacting with officers, you know, when they first brought him into the room and they asked him if he was comfortable, do you need something to eat, do you need something to drink, do you need to go to the bathroom. That, as I recall, and I did not rewatch the video last night, but as I recall, that was in English.
Do I recall correctly that indeed he did not begin to speak English until the police tried to make sure that
then he started to speak Spanish?
Well, indeed, he addressed him in Spanish.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In other words, when he was acting on his own, if you will, not trying to police were, and understandable, they want to make sure he was properly understood. What was going on. I think they first spoke to him in Spanish.
I believe so. And I think that this goes to show, Your Honor, that on this record, the police were being very careful of the defendant's rights. They were being very careful to make sure that he understood what was going on. Also, the record establishes that the police had also interviewed the witness, the complaining witness, first. And they were members of the same household, were members, in fact, of the same family, as I recall. And they had talked to her and had a discussion about whether this Mayan dialect, ma'am, was spoken in the household. and her interview had taken place, as I recall, in Spanish, as I recall. And you know, that had not been problematic. And they went in with the Spanish interpreter, and were speaking to him. So, you know, he said he enjoyed studying English in high school. The trial court found in his letter opinion at pages 32 and 33 that he was able to communicate at JA 32 and 33, that the defendant was able to communicate at some level in English and at all times in Spanish.
So that this interview, as I recall it, maybe not every single second, was conducted both in Spanish and English. He could hear the questions being posed in English. They were then translated into Spanish, and it went back and forth like that.
Yes, it did.
In two languages, as I said, maybe not every second, but
yes.
I think in the most salient parts, it was in both languages.
Yes, Your Honor, and that is reflected in the transcript that is, of course, in the joint appendix and in the videotape that is in the record. Plainly, the Commonwealth is not asking this court to become a fact finder. Instead, this court is asking, the Commonwealth is asking this court to credit the Commonwealth's, credit the trial court's fact finding. Had a little problem with my nails there, apologize. To credit the trial court's fact finding. And based on that fact finding, determine the legal question, which is whether this was a voluntary waiver. And here, the fact finding is in the Commonwealth's favor. You know, that Mr. Torrado had been speaking Spanish for 12 years, that he was able to converse at some level in English, at all times in Spanish. He read the Miranda waiver form aloud, and at no time expressed a lack of understanding of the content or the meaning of the form, which is a legally significant fact, we know from the cases. We know from these foreign language cases that have, for lack of a better term, that have been decided in other circuits in other states. The Delaware case, the 10th Circuit case that I cited on brief, where the gentleman who was a Lebanese native speaker, the Eunice case, where the gentleman was leaning forward and nodding, that was an important factor for the court in deciding that case and deciding that his waiver was knowing and voluntary. Because not only did the officers translate the waiver form into his native language, which it just happened that was the language he spoke, he was giving indicia of understanding. The court observed Garcia Dorado's demeanor and comfort in communicating Spanish. He did not seem confused. He was not asking for anyone to repeat questions. He was not needing anyone to restate conversation repeatedly. Court didn't observe a lack of understanding. And as to the issue of coercion, he was well-fed, hydrated, and although he was handcuffed, he had a good range of motion and whatnot. So here, Your Honors, the question isn't whether he was advised in all three of the languages that he spoke. The question is whether he actually understood.
Doesn't there have to be some evidence? Let me ask it differently. If there is no evidence of coercion, then is there any basis for reversing? If there's no evidence of coercion, does it matter whether he could speak or not? And the language in which he was presented?
As far as the voluntariness, I don't believe so. That's Rodriguez. That's the Rodriguez case. However, as far as the knowing waiver, he does have to understand the language.
So it wouldn't really answer the whole question.
It wouldn't answer the whole question.
It would go to the voluntary.
It does go to the voluntariness. But as far as the knowing waiver, we do have to have some demonstration of understanding. And here, we do. Going to the defendant's argument that there was no evidence in the record, the Commonwealth at the suppression hearing, the Commonwealth disagrees with that. The detective's testimony was before the court at the hearing, obviously, and there was the videotape which the court could observe. The fact that the translator was not present is not determinative. The detective testified that the videotape was true and accurate recording. The court could hear what the translator and the detective were saying on the videotape. I think that speaks for itself.
Well, we are, though, walking into the realm of an inference. If there was no translator to translate every aspect of what happened, that in fact was confirmed that the words being used were correctly being used in Spanish, or that they correctly stated what was to be stated. And what you have in this case is testimony that it was correctly, the words were correctly used. Isn't there an inference? And then you have all the rest as well.
I believe that
you
there is.
You have the fact that he knew English, he knew Spanish, etc.
I believe that there is somewhat of an inference that the trial court made at the suppression hearing, which was completely permissible and was supported by the evidence. And
you don't think to say that you can't get there by inference.
And I don't believe that that was error. No, there is nothing to say that. I believe that the court could look at the videotape, and the trial court sees an awful lot of these interrogations. The trial court could see if there was something, you know, squirrely going on here. And as the prosecutor argued, and I've seen the videotape, I'm sure the court has seen the videotape, has reviewed the record as it's appropriate, you can pick up in the English, you know, what's being said back and forth. You know, the words are familiar enough that even a non-Spanish speaker, I had a few years of Spanish back in high school, but you know, you can pick up a little bit, as the trial court did, that you can tell that we're talking about constitutional rights on the videotape. And that is an inference, but, you know, we're getting there. And I believe that we can bookend this by reliance on DePriest. I am unaware of any case that states that DePriest only adheres in the Fourth Amendment cases. I believe it adheres to all motion to suppress cases,
but
all suppression cases.
Isn't the argument that the trial court had to find that this defendant, in fact, mm-hmm. not some reasonable person out there under the same circumstances, could understand what was being said? The argument is the defendants in DePriest and the progeny and the preceding cases, mm-hmm. the evidence wasn't a matter of fact, it was a matter of again, the conclusion that it's reasonable, the reasonable person would have understood. But that's what the distinction has been.
I understand that distinction, Your Honor.
And we're not saying that here. Maybe we are saying that. A reasonable person would have understood everything that's going on.
I think a reasonable Spanish speaker would have understood it.
Or are we saying this man understood?
I think that we're saying that this man understood it, Your Honor.
Here there's a specific factual finding.
There is a specific factual finding.
And he did understand it. The question for us to see is there evidence in the record that supports that factual finding?
Yeah. Yes, Your Honor.
And we don't have to.
And I don't think you have to reach that issue.
DePriest.
No, Your Honor.
We don't. If there's another case you could use DePriest, we don't have to go there today because we have a factual finding about this defendant.
Yes, Your Honor. I do not believe that you need to reach that issue today.
You foreclose it applying some other time. I think that I'm not going to make that decision, but
correct.
What should you argue?
Yes, Your Honor.
What's been argued here?
Not below, no, Your Honor. It did make it into my standard of review because that's a typical thing I put in my standard of review.
Your argument is Toronto understood.
Yes, my argument is that Toronto understood. That is my point. That is what I'm trying to get at. Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Some other stuff.
Thank you, Your Honor. So that is my position, is that here Garcia Toronto understood that there was plenty of evidence before the trial court at the motion to suppress that from which the trial court could make that finding. And I submit that the record supports that. If the court has further questions, I'm certainly happy to answer them. But if not, I will.
Hearing none, we'll thank you, Ms. Johnson.
Thank you very much. I see you affirm.
Mr. Miller, as you come back, I want to make sure that I'm clear on this. It's really not an issue of voluntariness. It really is whether it was a knowing waiver.
Correct, Your Honor. That, so it needs to be a knowing and intelligent waiver. And I would submit to Your Honors that if, one, the priest does not apply, therefore the court, Your Honors, are limited to the motion to suppress argument. And in the motion to suppress argument, Your Honors, the Commonwealth asserts that Garcia Toronto understood. But the Commonwealth, from the record of the motion to suppress, can't even say what rights were read, if they were at all. And again, that's conceded by the trial court, which says, how do I know that this is not directions to Virginia Beach? He doesn't. So therefore, he is without a basis to determine.
I think we've held, and I don't remember the name of the case off the top of my head, the term Mirandized has become a term of art without necessarily recognizing what specifically, I think in that particular case, police officer testified, he Mirandized the defendant, and that was held to be sufficient to establish the advisement of his right to remain silent, his right to counsel, and so forth. So is cool. That essentially what we have here?
No.
Was there any contest made at the time that the rights hadn't been read in their entirety to him, at least in Spanish?
Your Honor, the person who asserted that he was Mirandized was Detective was the detective, the non-Spanish-speaking detective. She was in no position, as was the court, or anyone else who was a non-Spanish speaker during that motion to suppress, to state that he was Mirandized, because they
wasn't
simply
there
didn't.
Wasn't evidence that the form setting out the rights was handed to?
And at the motion to suppress, Your Honor, this is sort of a binary, and the question is the court going to look at the entire record, or is the court going to look only at the motion to suppress? If the court only looks at the motion to suppress, which I think it must, the Miranda sheet was never submitted to evidence.
I know it wasn't submitted, but are you then suggesting that the testimony that was given to Mr. Toronto and that he read it to you should be totally disregarded, not in the case?
Well, the court can do that. If the court does that, then the court must apply to Priest. And I believe that it is a binary. The court must either look at the motion to suppress standalone, or it must apply to Priest. And if it applies to Priest, Your Honor, this court is not in a position to determine, based upon if there was no evidence whatsoever that Garcia Toronto put forward that he did not understand, then this court could say, well, there was additional evidence. But now the court is in the position of having to assess credibility. And the Commonwealth cites Royal versus Commonwealth, which my colleague in opposition actually argued. And it says the conflicts, and it cites Albert versus Commonwealth, conflicts in evidence present factual questions that are to be resolved by the trial court, which has the opportunity to evaluate the credibility of the witnesses, resolve conflicts in their testimony, and weigh the evidence as a whole. And that's citing Albert versus Commonwealth. This court is not in a position to do that. Therefore, it must rely solely upon what the motion to suppress evidence was. And in that, we have no knowledge of what was asked, and we have no knowledge of what was answered, because at that point in time, Your Honor, the translator was not there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll step down and greet counsel, and then take up the Wiley versus Wiley case.